This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Listen in now to Talking Tayo for positive practical advice from hosts Elric and Sophie, all to give you the information and tools to help Taranaki thrive. Time for Talking Tayo.
Kia ora koutou, welcome to Talking Tahayo. I'm Eric, and today I am with Dave. Kia ora, Dave, can you maybe introduce yourself again for those that don't know you
yet? Certainly, Elric. Kia ora koutou, I'm Dave. I'm the Zero Waste Educator for Sustainable Taranaki. And I apologize for my voice. I am currently stricken with the plague.
We will forgive you for this. So today we're going to discuss our big issues with packaging, but also more specifically with takeaway cups and containers. And the second part, we'll try to cover the big issue with the 200% compostable claims on packaging and the difference with home compostable, commercially compostable, and everything you can see on those beautiful coffee cups, I say most of the time.
Yeah, big air quotes around the compostability of all of those products.
It's a big word. So I'm just going to start by saying that so for people to understand how many cups and how much packaging we use in New Zealand, so in Aotearoa we throw away 219 million coffee cups each year. So it's about 800,000 a day. So this is not good and not great. I'm just gonna maybe see like, why is it not good or not great? And I have a really, really short answer before you can develop on this, Dave. It's obviously this cost a lot of resources. From the very beginning of creating the packaging and the cup, from transporting it, then it's assuming really short life in terms of use. Like people use coffee cup for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes max. And then you throw it away, but then we need to spend resource, time, energy, and people to transport it, collect it, sort it, and then get rid of it if we can.
Yeah, regardless of whether a single use packaging item is compostable, recyclable, or goes to landfill, it's all waste. And this is a problem that we have across the globe, is that through our consumption of these single-use products, we have now outstripped our ability to actually process or deal with the amount of waste that is ending up either in our landfills, our incinerators, or, the whenua or the awa, you know, the land or the waterways.
Yeah, I also feel like we've been pushed as consumers. It's kind of it's a new habit that we have, like maybe a bad habit, and we think it's really easy and really saving us time when you think about it, it doesn't save you much time at all to take your keep cup and reuse something. It's just another way to get organized in your everyday life, I'm guessing. But do you have this feeling as well as when being a bit trapped in this packaging single use?
Very much so. We've been given a false convenience. Like, it's convenient to the individual, it's convenient to the business operator, but in terms of the grand scheme of things, if you look at the infinitely complex chain, as you've already mentioned, of the production, the shipping, the sorting, all of that is tremendously inconvenient for our planet.
Yeah, it is a big burden. And then you already touched it on this part, but there's also like the business side of it. So it's a massive business with massive companies behind it, and they are making a lot of money by selling their single-use packaging and product line.
Yeah, so all credit to a business that is trying to do better. Say if you're a cafe and you're looking at more sustainable alternatives and going, hey, my cups are recyclable. They're probably not in New Zealand. Maybe your cups are compostable. They're probably not in New Zealand. but you're trying to make a more sustainable choice. You've been given information from a packaging company that's probably an overseas organization that sends the stuff all over the globe. It is. People are making money off this false convenience.
Yeah, and I guess so. We can also maybe quickly touch this about our country, New Zealand. I think we have the disadvantage of being quite a small country with not a lot of. Not enough ways to make it profitable, or do you think this is one of the limitations?
We've definitely got a lot of waste. We just lack the we lack infrastructure for dealing with a lot of these things. But also, as you mentioned, we are a small population. The other challenge being that we're a really spread out population. We're all off in little villages and townships all across New Zealand. Sure, a lot of people live in Auckland, but basically we don't have the capacity to deal with the amount of material we're importing into our nation, using and throwing away. A lot of that stuff does actually end up going overseas. Yeah. Or I should say some of it ends up going overseas.
And I guess I also feel like... To come clean on this, like I was so we wrote an article on Sustainable Taranaki about the issue with food packaging and cups and containers. And so I did a bit of research, and what I found as well was the lack of legislation in New Zealand. So do you think it's also a big part of the issue? I mean, it could be called lack of legislation. I mean, it includes a lot of things. We'll discuss a bit later about the compostable labels and things like this. But
I'll keep it simple. We don't have any regulations around these types of packaging claims. There are a lot of industry groups that are trying to get voluntary kind of compliance, where people agree that this is how we will label our packages so that people know where it can go. It's But because there's no actual law or imperative or mandate to make people fall in line, it's pretty much the Wild West. Mm. You can't trust what's on the label.
And do you think one of the biggest difficulty from the government to put on some New Zealand legislation regarding packaging is because, I mean, it's one random idea that I have, would be, or if we put it too hard for global companies, like they will not sell their products to us, and then do you think it's this fear of like we are just too small to influence in a way the big companies, and like we just take the easy road in it?
I think it is it's a fear of loss of opportunity and economic benefit. Mm-hmm. that like a lot of people in New Zealand want a lot of the things that are available in other countries. They want these types of products, but they're not fully aware of the cost that it has. And yeah, that is a problem. There's a fear of losing the economic benefit of being able to buy and sell these things. But at the same time, New Zealand is in a very unique position where we could very easily say, no, we don't want these things, mm-hmm. and then come up with our own internal solutions, or even give opportunities for local mm-hmm. manufacturers to step into those places and provide, you know, more sustainable alternatives. And we know that there are people who are making those efforts, some with limited success.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some with pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's good also to jump on like solutions and on like positive actions that we can all do. So of course, we can all try to reduce the packaging when we go to the supermarkets, to the markets, bring your own bags, buy in bulk and do this kind of things. Bring your keep cup, try to go to places where you can reuse containers, and there's actually lots of options. I also want to mention, because I felt like we draw a big, big general picture of like, oh, New Zealand don't have any legislations and we don't have like maybe big scale solutions, but we still have some local great solutions. And I want quickly to mention, haven't tried them yet, but I really want to. So it's Twice Cup. So it's this coffee cup that you can eat, made of, I'm not really sure what it is made of, but you can look into them and give it a go if your local cafe. So it's Twice with T-W-I-I-C-E cup, and it's a New Zealand company. And I love taking like a new approach of the thing, and like, well, what if we could eat the cup? And like, no waste, nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really simple innovations that can be made in that hospitality sector. You know, like the whole idea of making a soup bowl out of the actual bread. I've seen that done in cafes. I've seen that done in restaurants. Yeah, the edible cups. Like there are people who have been exploring making chocolate cups, and then you would pour your coffee, your mocha latte, or your hot chocolate into the chocolate cup.
Love it.
And nibble away at the cup as it sort of melts. And admittedly, there are some limitations on these things. You know, in the middle of summer, chocolate is going to melt in your hand. But hey, no, these are the solutions.
There's also maybe the again scheme, making it reusable cups easier. There's great stuff. And actually, you shared with us today this Wellington new initiative about reusing mugs.
Yeah, so mentioning it again and again, that's a great option. You can go into a cafe, you get a steel cup. You can take that cup home with you, you pay a fee. That means you can return that cup to any other cafe that's part of the program. In Taranaki, we have In Cafe, who have got their own reusable cup alternative. Give them a try. Like, great option to have a local solution. But as you say, yeah, Wellington for a long time has had an outstanding example of how to reduce waste from hospitality through Tuatua Cafe on the Wellington waterfront. The cafe is, to their best effort, a zero waste cafe, and they do not sell any takeaway cups. But somehow, people can order coffees and walk around the waterfront with them. And the reason is they have partnered with, they've come up with an idea themselves where, yeah, you can come to the mug library, you can take a secondhand mug, which isn't going to end, it's not going to be the end of the world if it doesn't come back to them in terms of cost, walk around with that. When you're done with it, you can just drop it back at the cafe. That idea has now expanded with funding from Wellington City Council and partnerships with other local cafes and businesses, so that they have little stations all around the waterfront, and there are cafes that have set up little mug libraries. Wellington City Council's provided a sterilization machine so that basically you can get a cup. You don't get a takeaway single-use cup. You take a regular cup from the cafe, from their mug library. You walk around with it. You take it back to the office. You take it to watch the kids play sport. And then when you remember, when it's convenient for you, you just drop it off at one of the stations, and then those cups are cycled. Hey, zero emission transport, big ups to that. Cycled around Wellington back to the sterilizer that is owned by Wellington City Council. The cups are cleaned, and then they're put back out into distribution to all these different sites. And then it's just slowly, this is expanding. So that is Mug Cycle, if anyone's interested in searching for it. There's a great little write-up on the Wellington City Council page. How did this come into action? It's the Waste Levy Fund. So the money that people are spending, or what some would say is an excessive cost when they have to throw away their rubbish or take it to a transfer station, that money is going to a fund that is available to all councils or waste minimization activities across Aotearoa New Zealand. And then the councils are able to put that money out to people with ideas about that are going to reduce waste. And reusable cup systems, cup libraries, these kind of programs are just an easy win. And like you were alluding to earlier, people seem to think it's like this impossible task to bring a cup with them.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? I was just outside watching people walk across the street from their offices into Escape Coffee and then walking back with a takeaway cup. And I was like, I'm sure there are mugs in your office kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's just this, we need to just flip a switch in people's heads that you can carry this.
Yeah. And it's also, we like the milk cycle and this kind of ideas of using a reusable mug, because it answers, it solves the biggest issue for people is I don't remember to bring my cup and to bring my, like anything. And then, so remembering, like you actually mentioned it, like it's just solving this issue of remembering. You just have an option on site at the cafe. And like, it's okay if you, you can just use,
Well, another benefit that we're missing here is that, hey, these are all secondhand cups. Where are the cups coming from for the mug cycle? Secondhand stores, hospice shops, tip shops all across the Wellington region. We have a lot of those here in Taranaki.
Yeah, a lot of unused,
Yeah, like, come check us out, the Junction Reuse Shop.
Good promotion,
Open, was it Tuesday to Sunday, closed on Mondays. It's very simple for people to come and just get these cups, make sure they're clean, and it's no cost. The thing is, by reusing these cups, we're keeping them out of landfill as well. All these secondhand heirloom products are not being wasted and buried underground.
Yeah, so it's a win-win-win.
Win-win-win-win!
Win-win-win, so many wins. Well, so this is, so that's great, because we are ending this first part on like positive actions and things that people can do and can reconsider the way they've been doing things. But let's do the big jump now into the compostable packaging. So as a really short intro, I did a bit of research just earlier, and so apparently, so the industry so came up with this packaging solution, I think, pushing compostable packaging out. This is the solution of all the waste that we've been producing, because it's compostable. I'm putting compostable in between like brackets here. So we're having compostable now, so it's all going to be all good. And I've read that in New Zealand, this got a big push and got like democratized maybe like 2010, so not that long ago. It's what the internet told me earlier.
Yeah, it's been 15 years.
So it's been 15 years or more and more compostable packaging. And just before I ask you the big questions, and is it a good solution? Why is it not a good solution? It's going to be, we're going to try to answer this. Just to put things in perspective, this is what the Ministry for the Environment is stating about compostable alternatives. So they say often require processing in a commercial composting facility to break down. And these are not available everywhere in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And in general, bio-based plastics behave in a similar way to conventional plastics, meaning they will not degrade in the same way as their original source material. If these plastics become litter, they can harm wildlife in the same way as a conventional fossil fuel plastic products. So we are talking about compostable. So following this doesn't seem like a good solution, is it, Dave?
So compostable packaging is still single-use packaging. The same as recyclable plastics or other materials like paper or steel, tin, aluminium. The product, the packaging, is still single use. It's not being refilled, reused. It's not an enduring reuse. The material is having to be processed. So this is not just, we're not just talking about compostable plastics, which I hope we do have some time to sort of unpack bioplastics, biodegradable plastics, compostable plastics. Keep in mind the word plastic was repeated. They are still plastic. Don't get fooled by greenwashing companies claiming that their 100% compostable packaging is 100% plastic free, because if it is bioplastic, it is still 100% plastic. For the cardboard products, which, hey, are, we would say, a better product or a paper fiber product, there is the advantage that these things are not being made from fossil fuels, but they still often have the same chemical impact because of the way they are made. The bigger issue being just they're thrown away, and that someone has to deal with it. Someone has to build the infrastructure, so industrial composting facilities. And hey, New Zealand does not have a lot of those. It doesn't make financial sense because of our population and our spread out communities,
they just
don't seem to work out very well.
If I can just add also on the financial sense of the compost, also composting facilities, their goal is still to make money and to make a profit. And so they want to resell the compost and the soil, and they want it to be the best possible. And I think one of the issues when you bring lots of compostable even if it's home compostable packaging, can also discuss this a bit later, it will not, if most of your product is this, just packaging, like compostable packaging, it will not be a good quality of compost at the end.
Yeah, and I mean, you can look at Sustainable Taranaki's website. You can sign up to one of Mika's Let's Compost workshops. You can build an understanding of what compost is actually supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It is fuel for plants to be grown. It is the compost that you should be making at home should be rich with organic life. It shouldn't be inert material. It shouldn't be dirt. Nothing is going to grow very well without all of that life inside of the soil. These materials are not rich feedstock. So when we're saying rich feedstock, we're saying they don't have a lot of nutritional content to actually do anything for the compost. When these companies are claiming that they are compostable, all they're really saying is, this will disappear. You won't see it anymore. They're not really saying much about what's left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time they're making really exaggerated claims about the environmental impact. Mm. And I this is something that I had found in 2011 on a team of scientific researchers basically unpacked some of this. So I'm just going to quote this. This is from Science Direct. You can Google the article. Our study demonstrates that bio-based and or biodegradable materials available on market are just as toxic as conventional plastics with regards to the chemicals they contain. This highlights that the positive connotation of biological or sustainable materials does not extend to chemical hazards. Accordingly, our findings imply that in order to develop bio-based biodegradable materials that indeed outperform conventional plastics, sustainability and chemical safety aspects must be addressed alike. One way to promote this is to integrate chemical toxicity into the life cycle assessment of materials. Well, hey, there are standards for these. So the European Union and Australia have compostable standards, but that's just a threshold. And then when we're talking about these chemicals, we're talking about forever chemicals, PFAs. It's not just the phthalates and all that type of stuff that are found in traditional plastics like BPAs and all the scary stuff in the media from a few decades ago. All plastics, even if they're bio-based or biodegradable, have these chemicals in them. A lot of the cardboard or paper fiber products that are compostable will have a PLA or some kind of hydrophobic chemical composition sprayed into the lining so that they are watertight, so that your hot drink, that your soup won't destroy the packaging. Well, that means that stuff's going into your compost. So once again, it's not just that there isn't rich feedstock in the compost. There's actually a whole lot of nasty stuff in there, and then we don't 100% know what that stuff does.
Yeah, and if I may just add as well on the, when you mention plastic particles, there's actually a study that's quote on the article on Sustainable Taranaki, but microplastic from disposable cups, aka compostable cups, are leaching into hot water, and it was actually quite shocking in terms of the numbers. So leaving a 100 millimeters cup, so hot water, after 15 minutes, they counted about 25,000 micron-sized microplastic particles after only 15 minutes. So I guess it is a way, because you mentioned earlier, like the way they make the cup is because they want the cup to resist and be holding the liquid. But if it's resisting, and if you can say that it's not really changing with your own eyes, it doesn't mean there's not microplastics going into your drink.
Well, so this is an absurd situation. If we're specifically talking about PLA, which is polylactic acid, PLA, It's a bioplastic. It's made from things like corn starch and sugar cane, even beets. Right? Sounds really great. Made from biomass. All of that stuff is natural. But of course, they have to put a whole lot of chemicals inside of that to make those things bond and turn into the type of material that they want. Now, they'll say to you, you can chop up your PLA into tiny little bits and put it into your compost. And in that perfect environment where you have microorganisms, heat and humidity, in a controlled composting environment, that stuff will degrade. It will break apart. It will dissipate. Now, if it's not put in that environment, specifically talking about PLA, if it makes it into a waterway, if it makes it into the ocean, if it is just left in a paddock, or it makes it into regular soil and not ideal composting positions, it breaks down into microplastics. People will claim that these products are not plastic. They will say they are 100% plastic-free. Bio-based plastic is still plastic, whether it is biodegradable, compostable, or just made from biological material. It is still going to create microplastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with some risk and
It's going to, it builds up in the food chain. It's releasing chemicals. Yeah. These are things that cannot be ignored.
Yeah. It's not good. Well, thank you, Dave. I think it's really strong ending. And no, I think it's actually really, really useful. So maybe just to end up on the what can we do, so we have a few seconds left. So bring your own cups and containers. I also think like spread the words. And I think it's also really good to engage with your local cafe. And if they don't have solutions yet or options, ask them why and maybe what you can do to help. Could be a good thing.
Please be gentle.
Yeah.
Don't come in with an eco-fascist mindset. Don't come in hot and heavy. Don't blame the cafe staff or cafe owner for giving you a compostable cup. Like, you can ask questions, have that conversation, but don't read them their pedigree and tell them they're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I think all of us are caught up in this at the moment. The way we live our lives, the way we consume products, with a few gentle nudges, with a little bit more information and a bit more transparency from government organizations, companies, corporations, hey, we can come up with better solutions. And that's actually quite simple.
Yeah. And now we know pretty much everything after this podcast. Thank you, Dave. Kakite.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.